This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. Our next guest, Macca and Paul here, is Brian Toohey. Now, Brian Toohey is a name that I certainly remember from my deep, dark past as editor of the National Times and also as a Canberra and Washington correspondent for the Fin Review. He's authored or co-authored four books. Oyster, the story of the Australian Secret Intelligence Service. Tumbling Dice, the story of modern economic policy. The Book of Leaks and the Winchester Scandal. Winchester Scandal was Commissioner of Australian Federal Police who was murdered. And he's written extensively about national security since 1973. Good morning, Brian, and what a pleasure to speak to you.
Oh, good morning.
There you go. Now, the most recent book that you've written is Secret, The Making of Australia's Security State. And I'm really concerned about the state of Australia's security state. I think the level of surveillance and interference in our lives in the name of national security is excessive. We're not that far behind countries, and some of them reasonably close to us, like China and North Korea, in terms of the amount of state surveillance we have. How did we get to this point, Brian? How did we get to this point?
Well, it's fairly recent. I think it's after September 11, 2001, those terrorist attacks. Before then, particularly under Menzies, he was an old-fashioned British small-L liberal in the sense of sort of security laws. His Attorney General brought in a really tough new espionage bill, and he just threw the lot out. No amendments, nothing. And, I mean, Malcolm Fraser, when he was the Prime Minister, there was a bombing at the Hilton Hotel. There were 12 overseas leaders there for a conference.
That was the Chogging Conference, wasn't it?
Three people died, and 11 people got injured, and he didn't bring in a new terrorist legislation, none. He just relied on the normal murder laws. But all of that has changed to such an extent now that we have 75 new laws to deal with terrorists, those who murder people, etc. And it's prepped into other areas entirely, but it's still called the terrorism laws. And but 75 is an enormous number. Of course, it's impossible when you've got that many numbers, that many laws, for lawyers or anyone else to sit to really understand which ones are which and what's happening. But a really bad one was right at the beginning there, after September 11, the Howard government brought in a law which applied to someone who is not even suspected of committing a crime, yet they're supposed to believe in habeas corpus. Now, you can't be locked up if you're not suspected of committing a crime and brought quickly to trial under that, you know, great principle. What can happen is it's ASIO can now arrest the people or detain them and question them, and if you say anything to anyone about what you were questioned about, you will be going to jail. And the other thing about that, of course, is that the ASIO in the past, the big safeguard was that ASIO could not arrest anyone or could not detain them or could not question them. If someone from ASIO wanted to talk to you, if you could talk to them or not, as you cared, you know, depending on what you wanted to do. But now they've taken on the character of being a secret police force, which is, you know, how they can behave. The police can't say they're anonymous when they're arresting you. They've got to say who they are, but not ASIO.
So, Brian, a question for you. How on earth are we allowed a situation that these laws have actually come into the legislature? Why have they been put in place and not been challenged through the normal process of Parliament?
I'll tell you, I think the answer is simple. That both major political parties, Labor and, of course, the Coalition, Liberal Party, National Party, have tried to outdo one another on who's the toughest on national security, whatever exactly that phrase can mean anything, basically. And that the laws are so tough that when a New South Wales Supreme Court judge found that ASIO had actually kidnapped a young person, they then changed the law so that ASIO can now can actually kidnap people as long as they don't use excessive violence or murder someone. Well, I mean, really, I don't think you should change the law when someone, by a Supreme Court judge, has correctly decided that they had kidnapped people. So it goes, or each side is trying to outdo the other on national security.
And you know, in also in regard to your question, Paul, about how do we get this, it's because the government and the opposition have been complicit in, yes, trying to outdo each other, but basically waving these laws through. And on both sides, you know, there are lawyers who felt uncomfortable with this, but when it came down, you know, to the vote, they voted for it. And we're in a situation where, you know, I think most Australians would be surprised. No Australian wants to feel unsafe. No Australian doesn't want the government to have the powers it needs to protect us, but I think most Australians would also be surprised at the level of power and oversight of our lives that the government has. And they're pretty hard to turn this back, isn't it, Brian, once it's there?
I think you'd need to have a lot of public opinion behind you, and it's so easy to use slogans about we're keeping you safe, etc., etc. But one political party may do this. I mean, the obvious thing to do is to do a big overview, you know, from outside lawyers, the law council and other people involved, as to how to consolidate these 75 laws into one. I mean, we used to have none, especially for terrorism, so how about just having one? But I can't see that happening at the moment. It is a great pity that both sides, who have always had a sort of civil libertarian strand in them, have disappeared on this issue.
It's, you know, you look at some of the, you know, the archival material of conversation, you know, between CIA, US State Department, Australian officials and others. You know, WikiLeaks, of course, has exposed some of this, but again, Australians don't understand, and perhaps they don't want to know, about some of the relationships we have and some of the information we share with allies, call them allies loosely. I think they'd be quite surprised. And you're uncovering some of that. Do you ever wonder when you see a car parked down the street, is that the federal police or is it just an Uber having his lunch?
I don't know about that, but I mean, you put your finger on a big problem there. Is that in that original law I was talking about, where they can detain, ASIO can detain people and question them, sometimes that's done on behalf of foreign partners, and then that information can be passed on. Say they're asked, and this is the sort of not untypical idea, is if they thought you knew where someone was overseas that they suspected of being a terrorist, they could force you to give their address. Yeah. But if you thought that this is what their motive was, and that was to the other country, which doesn't have a rule where people can be killed without going to court, but the other countries like the US can execute them, and so can other countries, like some of them might end up with Turkey or somewhere like that, and you could legitimately say, well, look, I'm not going to answer that, and you would cop a very long jail term. So it is really, we're not doing enough to look at what's happening with just the actual nature of our partners. I mean, take the United States. I think people would be very surprised to know that this is from a Congressional Research Service study that since the end of the Cold War, the United States has used its military force overseas 160 times. Mm. Now, some of those were not very big things, but others were very big wars, like the invasion of Iraq, which we participated in, and so forth. And other studies show that they've interfered in foreign elections a lot more than any other country. The Russians certainly interfered, that seems to be the case at any rate, in the presidential, the last presidential election in the United States. But on the other hand, an assistant secretary of state gave testimony to Congress that she'd arranged for $100 million to be spent trying to undermine Putin in the 2014 elections.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Look, we've actually run out of time, unfortunately, Brian, but I want to thank you for your work. I've ordered a copy of the book, so I'm looking forward to reading it. Good on you for doing it, and, we need authors and journalists to continue to do this because the government's not telling us what they're doing.
Oh, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.